I need to remind our folks on Wednesday night. I forgot to give you your passage for Wednesday night. We actually will be studying that passage. It has to do with you're the light of the world and you're the salt of the earth out of the Beatitudes, out of Matthew 5. And just ask you to be aware of that. We'll be talking about that. Well, we have spent the last few weeks talking about or looking at what it means after the resurrection, what it means to be fully alive. And we dealt with some of that and move a little further today with an idea of focusing on the future. I'd ask you to look at, first of all, at John 14:12. John 14:12. We're going to spend some time today talking about focus on the future. We'll do that for 2 weeks. Then we'll wrap this series up. In John 14:12, Jesus is talking about the future and talking about having a sense of hope for the future and promise for the future and promise for the church because of Him, not because of us. We talked about what it takes to be fully alive and the steps that we must take. And one of the things we need to believe is when He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also." And then Jesus says, "And greater works than these he will do, because I go to be with the Father. Whatever you ask in my Father's name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Verse 14, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." In this particular passage, Jesus is introducing the idea of the power source of the church, which we'll be spending some time in May and June talking about, the Holy Spirit. And he says, "Look, I'm going to give you a power. I'm going to give you a future and a hope that is greater than what you have now. And you will do greater things than I've even done." Now, he's not talking about that you'll do greater miracles. And instead of feeding 5,000, you'll feed 10. Instead of healing one blind man, no, he's talking about that you, with the power of the Holy Spirit and with the hope of the future and the belief that the best days of the church can be ahead of her, that we can do that. Why? Because of Him. In Ephesians 3:20, Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gives us these wonderful words. And he speaks of the future when he says, "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works within us." He says, "Look, there is more that you can do than you can ever imagine." Tying that into his wonderful passage in Hebrews, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." And so the call to us today in Holloway, the call right now, and it's one that's so necessary, is it's time to focus on the future. Last Sunday at the end of service, just as the Spirit led me, I brought the children and the youth in here and we put them in front of you. And everybody likes to talk about they're the future. They're not the future. They're the present. They are the present because they're among us. And if we don't raise them up and give them a sense of that the church does have a future, it does have a hope, and through Christ we can do all things, then we're failing them and we're failing ourselves and we'll close the doors one day. Now, they may not be the future here. I shared that, and I know that might be of concern to some of us, but they'll be the future somewhere, sitting in our congregation today among our young people and back there going through children's church and mission training and things are our future leaders. And so we must point to the future. It's time to focus on the future. But there's a problem, ladies and gentlemen, today in the church, and I hate to have to deal with it. We can't really focus on the future because of a problem that is so prevalent in the church today. And I want to spend a few moments this morning dealing with that. Okay. We're not going to be able to face the future. There's a but in there. We ought to be facing the future, but we can't unless we face and fight against the giant fear. Fear. You say, "Well, what are we afraid of?" Folks, the giant of fear is ravaging our churches, just as it ravaged the people of God during the time of David and Samuel. Those of you that know the story well know that the army of the Philistines had gathered on one side of a mountain, and on the other side was the army of the Israelites. And down in this valley known as the Valley of Elah, there was a battle to be raged. The enemy, the people of God, are to face the enemies of God. And what is so interesting about the story is that time and time and time again, the Israelite army, with the power of God and the belief in God, had radically, they just whipped the Philistines more than you can just imagine. And yet this time, because the enemy never stops trying to create fear, there's somebody different. And so the army of the Israelites come over to the edge of the mountain, and the army of the Philistines come over, and this time it's different. The sun begins to blot out. And there's a fellow who is 6 cubits in a span by the name of Goliath. Because God is always on the throne, but the devil is always working on a new way to scare us. And one of the saddest stories in the scriptures, not David, that comes later, is it says that Goliath came down and he taunted the armies of God. The army that had beaten him over and over and over again. He tossed them. And he struck such fear into them that one of the saddest passages in the Bible says, and all Israel ran. They took tail and ran. Why? Because they were afraid. They had gotten their eyes off of the Lord and on the enemy, and they became afraid. Folks, we're living in days where we've become the silent majority. And there are three great calls to the church. I'm going to deal with fear right now, what fear is doing to the church. There are three great costs that is exacting a price from believers and from churches. Number one, a diminished impact on society. Fear is causing us to be afraid. In Hillside Park Baptist Church over at Thomasville right now, the news media is there. There are probably protesters there. There are armed guards and armed security there. You go, what are they doing? Hillside's one of our Southern Baptist churches. What are they doing? Their pastor, Dr. Steve Chips, is preaching this morning on the biblical understanding of what is known as House Bill 2. You know that one none of us want to talk about? None of us want to deal with? And it is amazing to me that in our time of diminished impact on society, that the news media even shows up for a sermon, but because a pastor said, I'm going to stand up, and instead of giving society's point of view, I'm going to give God's point of view about why the bill that says transgender and all this is not right, that the media shows up and that they're worried about people coming in there and protesting. Why is it that that's become such a spectacle when it really ought to be the source of coming from all of our pulpits and all of our Sunday school classes? Folks, I'm not talking about trying to start a fight. The law is not that difficult, but you look at the state of Georgia, you look at all the other states and all the other people because somebody stood up. I heard yesterday on the news media, the Greensboro News, WFMY, and I watch WFMY, all they can talk about is the fact that the concerts that have been canceled at the Coliseum have cost people money. The Apostle Paul, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Elisha, Peter and Paul and James and Matthew and John all stood up not for what society wanted, but for what society did, and they were willing to die for it. I hate the fact that those folks are losing money. I like Ringo Starr and I like the Boss. I do. I was born in the USA. But you know what? Why is it that the church is running? In fact, we got more pastors and more folks saying, no, we need to just let everybody do everything. Folks, if we continue to have a diminished impact in society because we're afraid somebody's going to come protest here, or if you talk about that, somebody's going to get mad with you, or they're going to sue me. I tell people all the time to sue me. Just force me and Rosa into bankruptcy sooner. Amen? Fear. We're afraid. Don't say we're not. We're afraid. We're afraid somebody's going to run in here and shoot us. I'd rather be shot preaching Jesus than denying it.
Amen.
I don't want to be shocked. Fear has caused a diminished impact on society. I'm not talking about picking a fight, okay? We are to be light. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city set on an hill cannot be hidden." He said, "You're to be light to the world. You're to tell them the truth, but you're also to be salt." What was salt for? Salt was to stop rotting. And if you don't believe our society's rotting, while we remain silent, it's rotting. I'm not talking about trying to be ugly and start a fight. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I don't mean that. But I'm saying we need to stand up. Fear is causing us to retreat into our churches and to retreat into just doing things the way we've all, without any sense of the future. It's not we're going out there to battle and hate society. We're going out there to make an impact and a difference. And if it cost you your job and it cost you your life, you wouldn't be the first. But we're afraid. And because of that, we have shrinking faith. We have shrinking faith. Folks, you hear nowadays, "Well, Pastor, it's out of control. There's just nothing we can do about it. We can't make a difference anymore." If that's the case, if we can't make a difference in society anymore, then turn in your keys, cut off the lights, disband the church, give the money back, and let's go do something else. Instead of being bold for the Lord, our faith is shrinking. Instead of saying, "Yes, God is calling us to do that," we're going, "No, we can't do that. We can't afford that. We could never do that." I'm so glad that a small family in the Old Testament didn't say, "We can't do that." God spoke to him and he says, "I want you to build a boat. And it's not just a little old bitty boat. I want you to build a big boat. I want you to build the biggest boat we've ever seen." It was called the Ark. Now, he didn't have engineers and he didn't have all this. He didn't have power tools, but Noah and his family began to work and they were faithful to God. And everybody laughed at him and said, "It won't make a difference. You couldn't possibly do that." Aren't you glad Noah did that?
Yes.
I'm so glad Noah did that. I'm so glad the Apostle Peter and John, when they faced the very people that had crucified Jesus, said, "You do whatever you need to, but we will not stop speaking of the resurrected Lord." Our faith has shrunk. We no longer see ourselves. Most churches don't see themselves the way Jesus saw them in Matthew 16:18, when he said, "My church shall batter down the gates of hell." Finally, the third thing, the loss of spiritual vitality. You know, and I know society's changed. I've watched it change. Folks, it used to be that Sunday morning or Sunday was the Lord's time. And we were excited about being in church. Nowadays, we got leaders. We got leaders in this church. We got leaders in every church I know of. If something else is going on Sunday morning that they want to do more, they go do it. Let's just tell it like it is. And I'm kind of like the preacher that day that his mama woke him up and said, "It's time to go to church." He said, "I don't want to go." "What do you mean you don't want to go?" "I don't want to go today." "Why don't you want to go today?" He said, "Well, the people don't like me, don't like what I preach on. Some of them don't even speak to me, others of them sneer at me." He said, "Give me one good reason why I'm supposed to go, because you're the pastor now. Get up and go down there." Folks, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. You come up with it. Listen, I'm going to just tell you like this. I'm going to meddle. Where's your mom?
She's not here.
Kendra's mama shows up. She tells me I meddle when I start doing this. Stop making excuses why you can't be involved and you can't be here. Stop making excuses. Excuses are alibis that become lullabies that rock men and women to sleep to the danger of making excuses. "Well, I'm tired. I'm this, I'm that." Diminished vitality. Where's our passion? You don't find passion and you don't find vision. I could go around this morning and say, "What is our vision for Holloway's?" And most of you would go, "I don't know." What's God's vision for this place?
Make it better.
And the giant of fear stands there. And we're afraid. Jesus is calling, folks. And we're too busy. Jesus is calling. He says, I need you to serve me here. I need you to do this, to do that. The nominating committee is getting ready to kick in. And they're going to be coming to folks. And we're going to ask the same folks to do the same things. And instead of giving jobs to many people, we're going to have people with 4 and 5. I'm going to tell you something we do it here. I never have liked it. Got me run off at a church one time because there were people there that had 4 or 5 committee chairmanships and this and that. And we had other talented people in the church. We need to get more people involved.
Amen.
And they don't have to come looking for you. Come volunteer. I know that we probably have to fan Greg and the nominating committee if 50 people walked up and said, I want to volunteer to do something. Because he probably faint. Diminished by talent. The Lord says, I want you to serve. And what do we say? I don't have time, Lord. The children, my work, this and that. I want you to start tithing. I can't afford it, Lord. I want you to forgive that person. I can't do that, Lord. I want you to put me first in your life. I wish I could, Lord. We're paralyzed by fear. Folks, that's just the truth. Fear is a weapon of the enemy. But it doesn't, hear me, that's the bad news. It doesn't have to be. It does not have to be that way. It does not have to be that way. I want you to turn with me in your Bible. We're going to wrap it up. We're paralyzed by fear, paying the cost of fear. It doesn't have to be that way. I want you to look at these two passages. John 14, 25 through 27. We don't have to be afraid. Now, I'm not telling you to go out to society and start a fight with everybody that opposes what the church is about. No, be salt. Be like Jesus managed to go in to society and make a difference. And he didn't pick a fight with anybody but the religious crowd. They were drawn to him. John 14, 25 through 27. Listen to what it says. These things I've spoken to you while abiding with you. Jesus is getting ready to go home to heaven. And he says, I'm going to be leaving you, but I'm going to send you somebody that's going to be better than I am. He says in verse 26, but the helper of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance of all that I said to you. My peace I leave with you, peace I leave you, my peace I give to you, which the world does not give you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be what?
Afraid.
Afraid. We don't need to be afraid. Now don't go out today and just pick a fight with somebody over HB2. Use your sense. Don't go out there and pick a fight because, I saw on the internet the other day. I wish I could find the person. It was on the internet that a lady got a tip. So two people sit at a table. One of them gives her a tip. The other is supposedly a Christian. And the lady is a lesbian. I don't know how they knew that or whether she got it. It doesn't matter. And the tip they gave her was a biblical one. Oh, that'll make me want to come to church. Instead of, and it wasn't Jesus loved me, that Jesus loves you, that they wrote on the tip. Instead of leaving her any money, they left her a tip how to straighten her life out. Boy, that'd make me want to come, wouldn't it? That's not what I'm talking about. Jesus said, though we don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be afraid. It doesn't matter if the ACLU or anybody else comes in here. If we're doing the right thing, if we're standing up for the Lord, he will be with us. It may be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We may get thrown in the fire. People go, well, they didn't get thrown in the fire. No, they didn't get thrown in the fire. But what people so often fail to remember is what they said. They looked at Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar said, if you will not bow, if you will not bend, if you will not do what I tell you, we're going to throw you in the fire. They said, Nebuchadnezzar, you may throw us in the fire. And if you do, our God will protect us. But even if we don't, and if we die being thrown into the fire, we still, listen to what they said, we still aren't going to do what you say. Real love casts out fear. He says, be not afraid. Romans 8:15. Let's close. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear, but you've received a spirit of adoptions and sons, which we cry out, Abba Father. What does that mean? Cry out to God. Cry out to God. Folks, we need to focus on the future. This was the tough message. Next week's the fun one. I'm going to offer you 6 spiritual weapons next week. I encourage you to come. 6 spiritual weapons that defeat fear in your life and in the life of the church. And if we'll act upon those, you will find that God will do amazing things in your life and amazing things in mine. But I want to tell you, we don't need to be afraid. It's time for the church to stand up and speak up, not in confrontation everywhere we fight, but we must be light and we must be salt. Because when the light is covered, it's of no value. And Jesus said, when the salt loses its saltiness, it's to be trampled underfoot and thrown out. Let's don't be afraid anymore. Let's think about, let's dream about, let's live out the future. When I was at First Baptist Roseboro, one of my deacons, Mr. Timmy West, Timmy's now with the Lord, sang a song. May all who come behind us find us faithful. Beautiful song. And it had these words. May the footsteps that we leave lead them to believe. May all who come behind us find us faithful. Next week, we're going to deal with the 6 weapons that deal with fear. Folks, let's focus on the future. What is God's dream always? What's God's dream for you and your life? Maybe there's some preachers in this place. I hope so. Future preachers, future Sunday school teachers, future discipleship leaders, future missionaries. God's got so much He wants to do. But we've got to stop cowering. We've got to stop being afraid. I want to give you a very special prayer request. I don't care whether you're Republican or Democrat or whatever. You need to pray for Governor Pratt McCrory. He's in a mess. The pressure on him is something you cannot imagine. And it's political pressure and it's economic pressure. And that's to change the law and basically say, and all North Carolina did was come down on the side of the Bible. That's all we did. And society's saying, if you don't let everybody do everything they want to, if you're going to discriminate, we're going to make you pay. Pray for him. Pray for me. Pray for Steve Chips right now, who's probably close to ending his sermon. WGHP was to be there, and others are to be there. You're going to hear all about it. And the sad thing is, if that's the case, the media ought to be outside every church in North Carolina. Not because we're trying to pick a fight and to tell transgender people or people that have a different sexual orientation how wrong and how bad they are. That's not what Jesus said. And that's not what we're to do. We're to be salt and light, and we are to love them and lead them to the truth. May all who come behind us find us faithful. May when these young people and our children there, when they get to where James and Joe and Tommy and Dallas are, that they can look back and say, thank you. Thank you, Miss Debbie. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Boyd. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Robbie. Thank you, Nancy. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Miss Ruth. Thank you, Wayne. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Miss. Thank you for being faithful. It gave me a path to follow. Let's pray together. Father, may all who come behind us find us faithful. They won't find us perfect. They won't find us perfect. But Lord, may we not be afraid. Help us not to be afraid. You said real love cast out fear, and that you didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power. And may we come next Sunday, Lord, and may we hear the word, and we find the weapons that defeat fear, and then may we take them up and use them, and we make the difference in this community greater than we are today that you're calling us to make. Lord, help us to focus on the future, to celebrate the past, to expect the present, but to focus on the future. Amen.
Amen.
As we come in our time of invitation, what is it you're afraid of? Maybe you're afraid to say to the Lord that, Lord, you're a part of my life, but you're not my priority. You need to make the Lord your priority. Maybe you've never entered into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You've never asked Him to forgive your sin and come into your heart. He'll do that. But He'll take away that fear. He'll take away that fear. David stood on that same mountain, walked down in that valley where those soldiers told him he's too big to hit. He will wear you out. In fact, David said to Goliath, "You've come to me like a little dog." You ever had a little, and some of you have little dogs. I got a big dog. I like big dogs, okay? Because I'm a little dog. And you ever had a time nip at your ankles?
Yes.
That's kind of what Goliath was saying to David. You're just nipping at my ankles. David said, "This day I shall give your head and your body to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field, because you taunted the armies of God." See, David looked at it. Everybody said he's too big to hit. David said, "Oh Lord, no. He's just too big to miss." And David said, "The battle's not mine. It's not our battle. It's not our battle. The battle belongs